This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Sharit. It's 7.15 in the morning and we're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio because we're asking you, should MP asset declarations be made public? Do tell us why you voted the way you did. So far, we've got about 100 votes. 78% of the voters said yes. 11% said no. 11% said don't care. Now, if you did vote no or don't care, please do tell us why because we're very interested to find out the result, and we'll take a look at the results through the rest of the morning, I suppose. But in the meantime, according to the World Bank, the public sector's performance has declined since 2014, and they expressed concerns over sustainability of our civil service wage bill.
That's right. So this was part of its latest Economic Monitor report, which came out yesterday, where Malaysia was compared with other Organisation for Economic Cooperation or OECD countries to gauge its readiness to move from a middle income status country to a high-income nation.
So for more on this, we have on the line Rajni Bajpai, Lead Public Sector Specialist at the World Bank. Thank you for joining us, Rajni. There is a general perception among the public that the civil service is bloated and inefficient. Is the current size of the Malaysian civil service a cause for concern?
I think there are no right or wrong answers or any magical figures for the size of the civil service. In Malaysia, you have 5 civil servants for every 100 Malaysians. And whether that number is high or low is not so important as is the quality of the civil service. What do these people in the civil service do? And are they able to supply high-quality services to people? And I think that it's high time that the debate in Malaysia shifted from numbers in the civil service to quality of the civil service and sustainability of the wage bill.
And the finance minister also suggested that the government may consider privatization of certain services under the civil service. What are your thoughts on this?
First of all, as Malaysia progresses, you will need higher and more sophisticated services in the government. And the wage bill is likely to go up as you compete with the private sector to hire the best people into the civil service, which by itself is not an issue as long as you can sustain that wage bill in the long run, because this change has to be in line with the change that takes place in terms of collecting revenue, in terms of GDP growth and higher income. If you're not able to collect enough revenue, which seems to be an issue in Malaysia, if you look at the recent trends, then you are not able to sustain your wage bill. Having said that, the wage bill has, as a percentage of expenditure, seen quite a sharp rise in the last two decades. But coming to considering privatization of the civil service, in the past, I understand the government has made some efforts towards privatization, and it would be a good idea to look at some of the outcomes of the past efforts and take it further from there.
And the report also highlights that Malaysia's public service is characterized by a rigid and lengthy recruitment process. Is the Malaysian public service able to attract talent and can it do so sustainably?
In an environment where there's a lot of digitalization and a lot of new age trends are emerging, the need for services is also changing. It is not the traditional civil service and not necessarily the kind of civil servants you had in the past that you need in the future. And in line with these trends, your human resource management practices in the civil service also need to change. What the advanced countries are doing to hire specialized services is using competency frameworks. And these competency frameworks are being made more and more sophisticated with each passing year. And that is something that Malaysia needs to edge towards. As of now, the civil service is highly centralized. It is perhaps does not cater to all the needs of the line departments. And that is something to think about for the future, that if the local and the line departments and state governments need certain skills, can they be given more autonomy in hiring? And can this process be decongested a little bit?
Now, Rajni, we talk a lot about digitalization. So how do you think the civil service can best adapt itself, or at least ensure it isn't negatively impacted by the effects of digitalization?
So there are two things you need to manage with digitalization. So in the first place, you adopt technology in a manner that it enhances your service delivery, it reduces your costs, It improves your efficiency, and you can do some of the traditional thinking on that front by learning from early adopters. There are lots of examples of governments which have adopted technology and are getting good results from it. But at the same time, you need to manage the negative impact of technology, most importantly on people. You will need to reskill, redeploy people. Some skills in the government may become redundant, whereas some new age skills may be required, which requires also planning for the future. What kind of skills you need in the government going forward needs to be thought of now and need to be planned now. So it's, again, the whole human resource management planning as far as digitization goes, as well as interdepartmental and strategic planning, which stems from the administrative and technology departments on how to use services to government's best advantage.
And the World Bank report also suggests that Malaysia's public service lacks in terms of openness and transparency. What are some of the obstacles here, and how can the public service improve on this front?
So there is an issue of openness and transparency in Malaysia, and some of the scores are even below East Asia region or below OECD. What it would take to energize this whole conundrum of having an open government is a number of things, first of which is commitment at the highest level. The government needs to ensure that the top is comfortable with sharing information, because sharing information also opens up government to some kind of criticism if they are not performing well in certain areas. But at the same time, it gives them an opportunity to gain benefits from areas where they are performing really well. And to do that, you need to put in place a number of building blocks. You need to have a legal and institutional framework. You need to put in the right financial resources and the right people. And most importantly, you need to engage with the civil society. Civic engagement is really important, because you do need to hear from people what they think about your services and involve people in participatory policy and budget making.
Thank you very much, Rajni. And that was Rajni Bajpai, a lead public sector specialist at the World Bank. Now, this is an interesting topic, right, guys? And Rajni made a point really early on about how we discuss the civil service, because we tend to focus a lot on the civil service as, you know, in terms of how many civil servants we have. Is it too bloated? Do we have too large of a civil service? But Rajni made the point that we should actually be talking about the quality that that service provides. So right now we have about five civil servants to every 100 Malaysians, and are they providing an adequate service? I feel like we should probably take a look at maybe the distribution of civil servants in terms of what kind of roles do they play, because there has been news before that about 2/3 of the civil service earns less than 5,000 ringgit. So you wonder what kind of value added service those 2/3 would be able to provide to the Malaysian public.
I see that the World Bank report has a lot of aspirational factors in it, in the sense that they say that as long as you have high quality service, then the size of the civil service doesn't matter. But actually, it does matter in Malaysia, mm-hmm. because of the kind of funding that goes into it, the space it occupies in the national budget. And the general perception is that it is bloated, which means that you can shed a lot of the inefficiencies there within the civil service. But at the same time, that actually conflicts with the full employment policy of the government. You know, there's so many of them. If you start shedding them, how would you deal with this from a policy viewpoint?
Yeah, so, and another thing to consider is also the legacy issue that the civil service face. For an example, in terms of hiring policies, I mean, if we look at previously why people do join the government, is that part of it is the perks that comes with it. For an example, pension, that attracts a number of, workers in Malaysia, right? That is the attraction point in comparison to joining the public service. I mean, sorry, the private sector. Mm-hmm. So hence, there's that. But now, as time goes along, wages needed to increase, and it's no longer looking attractive. And again, as you rightly pointed, that it at that wage point, you know, are they able to attract quality candidates, you know, to deliver those services?
Yeah, that's right. And the other aspirational point that was highlighted by this report, I feel, is the comparison. This is a comparison to the OECD, which are very advanced nations, right? Whereas the report also mentions that we are ahead of our peers. So on the one hand, we're doing something right, but on the other hand, the World Bank is providing something aspirational for us to achieve, right, the next level.
Yeah. It's not meeting that aspiration of, you know, the public, I guess.
I mean, but I guess this is what we have to work towards, right? Because we can't just be comparing ourselves to our peers, especially if we are outperforming our peers, then that just leads to complacency. But of course, yesterday we also saw the start of consultations for the 12th Malaysia Plan, which will follow the midterm review of the 11th Malaysia Plan last year, formulated by the previous government. So Minister of Economic Affairs, Dato' Sri Mohamed Azmin Ali, introduced the plan yesterday and revealed the plan's three main tenets.
The policies, programs and initiatives of the 12th Malaysia Plan will revolve around three main dimensions, namely economic empowerment, environmental sustainability and social re-engineering. These dimensions will complement each other towards realizing our new development model of shared prosperity. They are also in line with our efforts to attain the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030.
And that was Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, Economic Affairs Minister. And as we heard there, the 12th Malaysia Plan will tie into the shared prosperity economic direction that was proposed by our Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir Mohamad.
Azmin also talked about the external economic uncertainty and called on more private domestic demand to mitigate those effects. He announced that 45 billion ringgit will be spent on more than 4,000 developmental projects this year.
That's right. So at the same time, you know, just to elaborate what he has said, now the social re-engineering might refer back to the aim of Shared Prosperity Initiative, which Tun talked about, which focuses on issues like social class, race, territory, supply chain to empower those who are left behind.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.